The Summer of Football at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
To be part of a great team, here's Hilton blitzing off the slot again. Patrick Hopkins, oh my goodness. Did he catch that? Did he catch that? That's the touchdown catch of the year.
Shotgun snap. Swing pass. Left side, Gurley on the screen, 20. Got a block, 25. Into space, 40.
And he's
Todd
gone.
Todd Gurley hits the jet midfield.
He's gone.
Todd Gurley, 20, 10. Gurley for MVP. Touchdown, L.A.
Early stage of second quarter. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going. Another defensive highlight. Touchdown, Bears.
The Summer of Football.
Rob gets it. Hands off to Sony Michel. What a hole down the right side. 10-5. Touchdown. Sony Michel rips off another big one. This time for 38 yards.
Breaking into open field and on the run is Josh Adams. Josh Adams inside the 30 and the 20 and the 10 and all the way home for yet another super run.
Here's Barkley. Big hole. Left side 20. He's to the 30. Avoids the tackle down the far left sideline. They can't catch him. 10-5. Barkley high steps it across the goal line. 92-yard touchdown run.
The Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Oh, yes. At 49 degrees here in Chicago, it is the Summer of Football here on ESPN. I don't even know what we're doing here. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. We just thought we'd give you that one more run before we delete that out of the system.
Right. We're just bringing warm thoughts. That's all.
That's so bad, Felix. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. But I'm in a good mood because the Bears beat the Jets at Soldier Field. And I want to get your thoughts about it. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. All right, Felix, I want to hear you delete that out of the system. Let's all hear you delete our Summer of Football. And for those that don't know, our Summer of Football segment takes place in the summer. And we usually play that to get you ready for the football season, college and pro. So I want to hear, let me hear you delete that out of the system right now. Let me listen. Open the mic. Let me hear it. Let's all hear. There we go. Now that's out of the system, pal. Now we have just regular old Under the Hood open. So don't forget, by the way, the Under the Hood podcast. You can check that out, by the way. Wherever you get your podcast, we ask you to download the Under the Hood podcast. You'll get more craziness like this and a lot of interesting interviews, whether it is on SoundCloud, whether it's on iTunes, whether it is on Google Play, whether it is on the TuneIn app, wherever you find your podcasts, wherever you download them, we ask you to download our podcast. That way, you never miss an episode of this show. You never miss Value Bet with Joe Ostrowski. You never miss our college shows that we do every Saturday, our college tailgate shows that we do. Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah, and I, we do Chicago's College Tailgate. That's always a lot of fun. Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday, so much more. All there in the content under the umbrella of Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Just download the podcast. That way you never miss an episode. We're going to hear from Alex Brown coming up in 5 minutes here on ESPN 1000. Let me give you a wall of sound.
Here's my dog, Jay Hood.
Some radio, I'm told, will transmit news stories within minutes of their occurrence. It's the age of information. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
You play to win the game.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
What do you care? Okay? You were 2-7, you'd be in a bad mood too.
What's up with the what's up?
Some sound that you might have missed regarding the Bears here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, and some stuff around the NFL. By the way, at the half, I'm sure you already have this on your phone as an alert. The Warriors are beating the Bulls 92-50. Oh, Bill, what do we do? It's 92-50. Let's read your tweets. Yeah, I guess. 92-50.
92 points.
You know what I would have done? Now, Kerr has been laying back like he's in a Barker lounger.
Yes.
Or in a lawn chair. Because that's actually how he usually sits unless the game's tight. But he's been like got both arms extended, leaning back in the chair like he's on a couch in college. You know what I would have done? if it was that close to 100, I would have had the windmill out coaching.
Go like, get up that court.
Like after a make or a miss, yep. I'm like, move it, push it, push it. Because I would have gone for 100 points in that first half against the Bulls. The Bulls ain't going to try. If they're not going to try, then I would have asked the team to get it to 100 by the half. It was 92. I would have said, get it to me. Get it up the floor. Move it. 92 to 50. Back with your calls after this. Man, oh, man. Well, talk to Nick Friedell about the Bulls and the NBA coming up at 9:30 here on ESPN 1000, ESPN app. Okay. Did you hear the news today about the Browns? The Browns fired their head coach, Hugh Jackson. And because it's a bear down Monday, we're not going to really dig into it like we will tomorrow, because we got to talk to Gerard Sherry from our sister station, ESPN Cleveland. I listened to a lot of that coverage today. Oh, man. It's a weird feeling there, because Hugh Jackson, 336-1 through three seasons with the Browns. We complain about the Bears. I could be doing the show in Cleveland. Okay. When it's always bad. It's been bad for a long, long time. Adam Schefter on the firing.
If you go back and look at the history of this, Hugh Jackson had not won a road game as a head coach. And there were questions about whether he would continue on as the head coach this year when John Dorsey was brought aboard as the general manager. So they had a new front office step in. And the new front office inherited the old coaching staff. And the new front office wanted to do things its way. But Jimmy Haslam was a fan of Hugh Jackson and helped convince the current front office to give Hugh Jackson a chance to basically see how it would work out before they ran him off. Now, if you look at Hugh Jackson, his record there in Cleveland is 336-1.
I nailed it. 336-1 when I even look at the sheet. It was bad. Man. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, it was good. We wanted to stay aggressive, and they were doing a good job stopping us in the first half, but we also stopped ourselves a little bit there. We just need to continue to get in the rhythm. We did a great job getting the run game going. I think O-line did a great job up front, and I just need to be more consistent and finding completions and not trying to force a big play, just trying to move the ball and continue to convert on third downs. I think we can be better on third down today. But overall, we just found a way and grinded it out. And it was a lot better in the second half than it was in the first half. So it was just, we stuck together and stuck to the plan and continued to execute our plays.
Todd Bowles, Jets coach.
Yeah, we had him in the first half. Second half, he got out. I mean, we chased him. We made some plays, and he made some plays. You got to give him credit.
Todd Bowles on Sam Darnold.
Well, he played tough. I mean, we knew it was going to be a tough game. It was one of them type of games with the wind blowing. When it's not there, he threw it away, but he didn't turn it over, and that was the main thing, and he's giving us a chance.
And that, my friends, is the Wall of Sound right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. So glad that you're with us. We turn to a man that is, you could find on NBC Sports Chicago, a Bears analyst, longtime Chicago Bear, is Alex Brown. He's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Alex, thanks so much for your time. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Let me get your thoughts about the Bears in their win against the Jets. You know, as I said at the beginning of last week, I said, you know, this is a winnable game, and no matter who's on the schedule, you just got to be who you got to beat. And so the Bears got it done yesterday.
They did. In the fashion they did, I like how they were able to get a lead. They were able to get a lead and then run it out. So Jordan Howard got the ball a lot late in the second half. So it was good. It was good. The defense played well against a rookie quarterback, missing their top two receivers. Yeah, I mean, that's about what you want to see. There were some things I guess they could clean up for sure, and that's always at any game. But I know there's a lot of chatter about Mr. Trubisky, but, I mean, hey, the kid's on pace to do some very special things, things that haven't been done at the quarterback position for the Chicago Bears. So outside of everything that he can do better, he is doing a fairly decent job.
You know what I really liked about yesterday's game is that so many talked about this Bears defense and how the defense has really been able to get to another level with Khalil Mack, which is true. But the defense already, to me, was a top 10 defense before Khalil got there. it was good for him to be able to rest and get himself, his body and his mind right, and let the defense without him be able to flourish. I think yesterday's game was important in that regard because the defense is not just predicated on one guy. The defense already was solid, and so I think they showed pretty well. They at least they got to the quarterback, thank goodness, in yesterday's game.
Yeah, you had a DB, though. We got a DB getting to the quarterback, and that's the part that bothers me. I mean, if we got to get pressure on the quarterback by blitzing, well, hey, blitzing Sam Darnold is totally different than blitzing Aaron Rodgers or even Kirk Cousins or somebody like that, even Matthew Stafford for that matter. Just got to make sure that you can get there with the front four, and I think bringing Khalil Mack in took this defense to – well, it gave the defense an ability to be special when they're playing at their best. Now, when they're not playing at their best, they're a good defense. But they can be special with Khalil Mack, but that's when they can get after the quarterback. Shoot, going into that bye week, they were leading the league in sacks, and that's what made the defense so good. They have to get to the quarterback, and that's I mean, there's some guys that haven't even contributed to that up to this point, Leonard Floyd being one. He has to find a way to get to the quarterback and get more pressure on the quarterback. His thing coming in is say who's going to be the sack guy, who's going to be the guy that burns the edge. He has not shown that. I mean, frankly, I mean, you look at outside of well, Trubisky, I think is doing fine. You know, Trubisky's doing fine, and I think he has a long way to go. But you look at Kevin White, you look at Leonard Floyd. These are two top 10 picks that one doesn't have a touchdown this year, the other one doesn't have a sack. That's very, very poor production from your top 10 players.
Alex Brown with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You can watch Alex NBC Sports Chicago as he gives his thoughts with the crew on the Chicago Bears after every game. You know, it was also important for Jordan Howard, too, because Jordan Howard was able to get a touchdown, 22 carries, good for 81 yards. I've been saying this a lot. Alex, look. You can have all the RPOs and the trick plays and whatever you want to do offensively and be as creative as possible. I still believe, though, that you have to have a solid running game. And I know that Jordan Howard may not be Matt Nagy's cup of tea as far as what Tariq Cohen can do, but I still think that you could have thunder and lightning in your offense with the running game. And Jordan showed like, hey, you know, I'm here. I can still run the football for you. I don't, you know, I don't do flips in the end zone. I don't do a lot of different, but I can run the football. I'm glad he was able to do that yesterday.
Me too. I'm happy he was able to show that he still has that burst. He still has that lean. Well, when he gets hit, he still falls forward for another 1, 2, maybe even 3 yards. So he has to be a part of this offense, because if you walked outside today, it's getting a little chilly.
Mm-hmm.
As it gets colder and colder, you're not going to be throwing the ball 35-40, what we saw against New England 50 times in a football game. You're going to have to grind it out, and you're going to have to grind it out against some really good football teams. And if you haven't practiced actually getting a 3rd-and-1 by lining up in an eye formation or lining up, just football boils down to moving a man that doesn't want to be moved. That's what it boils down to, and that's how you have to win football games. And you're playing against good teams late in the season when there are people vying for that wild card spot or vying for the division championship. You have to be able to do that. You got to be able to stop the run. You got to be able to run the football when they know you're going to run it. So that is Jordan Howard all day long, running the football, getting downhill, squaring the shoulders. Running sideline to sideline is not him. Turning his shoulders east and west is not him. He is a north-south type runner, and he has to be put in those situations early, including the offensive line. The offensive line has to know how to block for him. So now you got Kyle Long. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know what that injury is going to be about, but you have to find out what you got when we're talking about third and short and moving the chains to run out the clock at the end of a football game. And I don't know if we have that one play that we lean on to get that 1 yard.
What's your letter grade for Trubisky in the offense so far? We're through 7 games. If you had to grade it, what would you grade it as?
Man, it'd be spotty, man. It'd be real spotty, but I'm going to go with a B. I'm going to say a B because, like I said, this kid, I mean, he's doing stuff. Even though you see it every week, you see him overthrowing guys, you see him, he'd love to have this ball back where he just completely missed his guy. he tried to sidearm one and almost threw it right to the defender. Those things you want back, but my gosh, I mean, he's teetering on me. I think he's right there at 300 yards a game, throwing three touchdowns. He probably have a pick in there, but I mean, that's a pretty good line. We're talking about a starting quarterback in the NFL, and that's a stat line hopefully that you can win with, assuming you have this special defense with a healthy Khalil Mack. Speaking of Khalil Mack, I didn't say it earlier, but, hey, you didn't need him for this game. Hell, you shouldn't need him for Buffalo either.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe even rest him now, because I tell you what, when Minnesota comes around and then Detroit and he's still got to play Green Bay again, you want him full speed. So I wouldn't mind sitting him out. Obviously, the time away doesn't bother him because he missed training camp and came in and just wrecked shop. So the time away doesn't bother him. I just need him healthy. I need him as close to 100% as possible, because that's when this defense can be special. And in my opinion, that's what this defense needs to be if they're looking to win this division and get in the playoffs and actually do something in the playoffs.
Do you have any memories about taking on Buffalo or being in Buffalo? What are your memories of the Bills, if any?
Oh, man. I believe I got a sack on Bledsoe in that game. but Buffalo isn't – it wasn't – from what I remember, it wasn't the greatest place. It wasn't that cold, I guess. It was all right. Just like Chicago, just less wind. But Buffalo's Buffalo. I mean, this team right here that they're going to have to play, you beat them up early, just like this Jets team. You let them know early that they're not in this game. And if they can do that and jump out to a lead, then you can get your sack guys out there to really get after the quarterback, regardless who they put out there. If they put out the rookie or if they put out Anderson, who cares? I mean, these guys are – they're just guys, honestly. Their skill players aren't very good. Even Shady's not the Shady we remember from Philly. So it's a football team that you should beat. Now, if you go out there and you turn the ball over and you have a special teams lapse and these guys run one back and they get a score there, then all of a sudden you're in the middle of the third quarter, the score is close and these guys think they might be able to win. Now you got a dogfight on your hands when you should be able to put this game away. When I say put it away, you should be up by 17 points by halftime, assuming you don't turn the ball over. You just drive down the field and stick the ball in the end zone.
Yeah. Man, I just got my new iPhone, so I'm just putting the numbers in. I'm just trying to figure out which my new ringtone should be. Eric, give me a ringtone option here. What should I need a ringtone option? Yeah. What you think, Alex? You think maybe that should be my new ringtone?
You know what? You know, yes, absolutely. You know what? Yes. Yeah, you guys showed me something this weekend. I was right there. I watched it. And we're speaking of that Georgia-Florida game. And, yes, we need a couple more recruiting classes because our little fast guys, Your big guys were fast as our little fast guys, and it showed. And your quarterback hit open receivers, and our quarterback barely missed them. And the difference in the game, just like I mentioned earlier, as far as the Bears and the Jets and the Buffalo Bills, turnovers. You turn the ball over, it puts you in a bad position. You don't win the game. It's very hard to win the game without winning the turnover battle, especially when you have four turnovers to the other teams, none. So you're in trouble. You guys, y'all whooped us. I hate saying that, just so we're clear. but I'm glad we didn't bet anything. I don't have to wear any Georgia stuff, so I'm good.
Oh, you know, you really can't spell Florida without that L, boy. Y'all, if I tell you.
Wow.
I'm just telling you. I mean, listen, man.
This is where we've come. Just so you remember, I never lost to them. So everybody that played and watched the game when I was there, we never lost to Georgia, ever. So we'll get back there soon. We'll get back there soon. And now I got to deal with Roquan and Leonard Floyd and all these guys on the team.
Jeez, for some reason, Ron Pace thinks there's some really good athletes at Georgia.
Let me tell you something, Doc. Let me tell you something right now. Alex Brown, let me tell you, man. Hey, listen. It is one of those things where, you know, you don't bring Felipe Franks. You don't bring Franks to a world's largest outdoor cocktail party. You don't bring Franks. You bring a bulldog. That's what you do, man. When you have a party, wow, you bring bulldogs. You don't bring Franks to a bull. And here's the thing. They waited until you got down there, honored you, held you up so you can see the person. You didn't even see it in front of your TV. They asked you to come down there. They lost in front of you. Oh, man.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And I let them know that I was very displeased. I was not pleased at all with it. So don't worry. This offseason, we'll be, the only thing we'll have up is Georgia stuff everywhere in that final score, because that's the score that matters. Well, you got to beat them boys because they're one of the top teams. I will say it. Georgia's one of the top teams in the nation, and in order to be the best, you have to beat the best. And right now, in my opinion, I think they absolutely smoked Kentucky, and they will represent the East in SEC championship and get a chance, get an opportunity to play Alabama.
Yes, and get that ass whooped by Alabama. more than likely, that's probably how that works. But that's all right, well, though. At least we'd be representing. That's all right.
I saw the dog. Why would it be frowned upon if we brought a gator out there? You guys bring this dog out there. Why can't we bring a gator?
You can bring a gator. Y'all don't have no teeth, so it's not going to be dangerous.
Wow. All right, in a couple years, then. I'll wait till we get some more recruiting classes in to put some teeth in that gator before we bring
it. Man, oh, man. That game scared me to death. Well, I'll tell you what. You know that thing should be in Atlanta and then go to Jacksonville back and forth. It's always right there in Florida, right there in northern Florida, always. That game always scares the hell out of me.
You know what? I talked with so I went in with Aaron Murray, okay? Mm-hmm. And Murray and I were talking about it, the quarterback, I guess, for the Bulldogs for a little while. He went 3-1 against the Gators, and he suggested the same thing. How about it's in Atlanta, where the SEC and all everything SEC is, so we kind of go back and forth instead of it being a home game. One can be in Atlanta, one could be in Jacksonville. Obviously, the people of Jacksonville wouldn't like that, but I think it would really do the game maybe a little justice if you put it in Atlanta. So I don't know. I'm not opposed to it. I think that we should be able to beat you guys anywhere, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, man. Well, you know, you thought it was going to be a nice straight Bears conversation, and then, you know, I just couldn't let it go, man. Sorry. I hit you with that curveball. So, sorry.
Of course.
I appreciate it, man, as always. Thanks so much for coming on, and thanks so much for taking that L, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, man. Hey, I'll come on anytime, Hood, and we won't be taking too many more L's.
I agree with that. Got Dan Mullen. I agree with that. All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
No problem.
It is Alex Brown from NBC Sports Chicago with us here on Under the Hood. Coming up, Tales from the Hood. That is next.
He brushed three, and they drop eight. We throw it in the end zone, over the shoulder catch. J.J. Holloman, touchdown, back left corner, running towards the bleachers. He reached his arms up, caught it over the shoulder on a line drive. A beautiful pass from Fromm in the left corner, and the Dogs get six.
Just a takeoff route. Gators were in man-to-man. It almost looked like the cornerback for the Gators thought he was going to have help over the top. He let Holloman go. It was C.J. McWilliams that just let him go.
On the ground, Scott with a first down, but the ball came out, and Georgia's got it going the other way. Down the sideline, Richard LeCount has it back for the Dogs inside the 15.
Moving left on the near hash, Fromm will throw it to Holloman. And touchdown, touchdown. He reached right over the top of the defender, front left corner near the pylon, and scored for the second time in the game.
That was on C.J. McWilliams again, one-on-one. And Holloman, that big body just went up. That ball perfectly thrown back shoulder. Holloman goes up with those big hands.
Third down and nine for the Dogs from the Florida 24. Fromm throws it for the corner of the end zone. We caught it at the four and into the end zone. Touchdown, Terry Godwin. Yes, indeed. Oh, that was too easy. Godwin beat his man by a couple of strides. Fromm put it right in the palm of his hands, and he scored in the right left corner of the end zone.
It's Bears and NFL Monday with Jonathan Hood, my man's in them, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Lit.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Time for Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. And it's brought to you by the fine folks over at Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball return to the new Welsh Ryan Arena on Friday. Season tickets on sale, NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. In the third quarter of play, the Warriors lead the Bulls 113-69. Oh, no, Bill. Boop. Tell me, Eric, on the poll question at ESPN 1000, we put something up for Bulls Nation. Could you tell me what the poll question is?
Yep. So the simple question is just hashtag Bulls Nation. And your options are for the poll: laughing emoji, facepalm emoji, poop emoji, or death emoji.
Who's leading?
Right now, the poop emoji with 39%.
All right.
So it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's it's what it is. I told you, I would have gone for 100 if I'm Steve Kerr in the first half. And you know, again, no pride, no trying to get over, not trying to do, not, again, the Warriors are great. Great. You don't use that word very often in sports
right.
with teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. But the Bulls, first of all, not talented enough to even compete with them, whether or not the Bulls were in full strength or not. Not talented enough to compete with them, but then not trying defensively. It's something, man. It is something.
Clay just broke the record for threes in a game, and I just rewatched the highlight of it. Nobody around him. He's made 13 of these already. You might want to get a hand in his face.
Now, hey, the Warriors will break your spirit. You could be a good team. Yeah. They can break your spirit. But when you don't try, okay, that's another thing. So it just, not surprised. We'll talk to Nick Friedel, who covers the Bulls in the NBA for ESPN.com coming up in an hour from now here on ESPN 1000. Four women in Stelton are facing charges after an officer on patrol saw two toddlers running across the street. One of the toddlers, according to police, had a beer. The officer was on patrol on October 7th in the area of South 4th Street when he saw two children under the age of two running across the street. Both children didn't have shoes on, and one was carrying a full, unopened bottle of beer. As a result of the investigation, is the following women with endangering the welfare of a child. There's four women here: Ashley, Teresa, Rebecca, and Abika. Shame on you. Allowing your children to not just go on out in the street, but also one of them carrying a beer.
It's unopened. Show me a 2-year-old who can open a beer. All right. The kid's just teething and wanted a cold beer to stick in its mouth. That's all.
That's the worst.
That had to be a great scene. The police officer's like, what the hell? These kids are just running. Is that a beer? Beer in a diaper? What is going on?
The following women were charged with endangering the welfare of children. Those four women I just mentioned. That's unbelievable. But believable.
Yeah, but believable, yes.
God almighty. I just don't even know what to say with that story. It's just the worst. Eric.
All right, I like lists. Lists are my favorite things for Tales from the Hood.
Yes.
I want you guys to guess. I have a list of the top 14, I don't know why 14, the top 14 most popular Halloween costumes in 2018.
Okay, I'll start off the top with President Trump.
President Trump was on here, number 8.
All right, Felix.
I'm going to go with Dracula.
Dracula's not on here. Pretty much all of them are like pop culture references.
Oh, okay.
So I guess it's back to me. After a pop culture reference from 1975.
Well, now that I know that, that changes my thought.
So with President Trump, you would Dracula. let me see. The woman that just got fired from NBC is Megyn Kelly on that list.
Megyn Kelly's not on that list. That'd be a good costume, though.
That might be a late entry.
It would be a good costume.
Her and with paint on her face.
Yes, naturally. Black-faced up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Felix?
Is Kanye West on that list?
Yeezy is not on this list.
How?
I don't know, because that is definitely relevant right now.
Right?
That would be fun to be a Kanye.
Kanye West is on that list. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me see.
All right, so number one was a very popular, funny Marvel movie from this year.
What was it?
Deadpool.
Deadpool okay.
number
okay.
one.
Okay.
I don't even know this. The Nun, I guess that's a scary movie that was just released. That's up there at number two. The Incredibles, which I have an old Incredible costume from the original.
Okay.
In the attic. That's number four. Wonder Woman's five.
Oh, my God.
Pennywise, or It, from the movie It, the crazy clown.
Got it.
Donald Trump, White Walkers from Game of Thrones, Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones, Baywatch, because they remade that Baywatch movie, so that's an easy one. You just put on a lifeguard costume.
Yes.
12, Harley Quinn. 13 is anything Star Wars.
Sure.
And then 14 is Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
That made the list.
I saw, those came out this year. I saw a fantastic costume. It was they went as Taco Bell. The girl dressed up as a taco and the guy dressed up as Belle from Beauty and the Beast. It was hilarious.
That's great. Okay, faulty list. So no Black Panther, huh?
No, that's got to be faulty, right? There has to be so many out.
Nobody dressed as Wakanda or being from Wakanda.
Yes, one of the two. Very different places.
Oh, well, are you sure?
Yes. Well, I've only been to one of them, but I'm pretty sure they're not similar.
Hold on, put that on the poll. At ESPN 1000, are Wakanda and Wakanda the same? Are they different places? Yes or no? All right, Felix, what do you have?
All right, I have... It's kind of hard to follow the Wakanda.
Wakanda or Wakanda?
I'm just really curious to see how he's going to spell that, though.
I know. Careful.
Now you got me worried. Now I got to Google it.
Yes, please do. You don't want to make your brothers and sisters mad by misspelling Wakanda.
Oh, man.
Go ahead.
All right. Soap believed to be cocaine lands dealers and buyers behind bars. Police say that the only clean part of an intended drug deal at a North Carolina airport was the fact that the drugs in question were actually soap bars. The News and Observer reports, at the International Airport in North Carolina, officers arrested 43-year-old Tavarius Hargrave, 40-year-old Jason Anderson, and 40-year-old Luis Ortega on drug trafficking charges October 5th. But when the results of a laboratory test came back, police filed different felony charges Tuesday. Police initially believed Anderson of New York City and Ortega of New Jersey sold 3 pounds, which is 1.3 kilo of cocaine to Hargrave. Instead, according to an arrest warrant for Anderson, Hargrave received 10 bars of ivory soap wrapped in thick plastic wrap. But it's a crime to take part in what someone believes is a drug deal. Mm-hmm. It's unclear whether Anderson or Ortega knew the package was a soap, and it's unclear whether the three have lawyers.
Ah.
See, this is when all these TV shows we watch come into effect, right? Because I feel like they're there for entertainment, but yet there's crazy people out there who believe that they can get away with these things. You know, you see Breaking Bad, you watch, you know, all these types of different shows, and you think you can get away with, like, putting drugs in soap. And I think that these movies have only brought awareness that you can't really get away with these things anymore, right?
Yes, that's true, but I will ask you this. How fresh do you smell with a drug-induced, you know, soap?
Well, they were wrong, though. The soap had no drugs. So the dealer, like, totally scammed the guy and just sold him 10 pounds of Dove soap.
I'm sorry.
So he's got soft skin, so.
But if you had drugs in the soap, do you think that it would do, would that enhance the scent or take away the scent?
It's a good question. That would be a good wake in the morning, though, because you're chewing on some soap.
I love that.
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just a man that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
What? Jay Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Petticoat. Petticoat. Petticoat Junction.
It's time to get petty.
Oh, we did a good job executing.
Are you upset with something?
And fire up the Petticoat Junction train.
I just don't like you.
You don't?
No.
What is today's petty history? Petty Junction with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Some people try to find the funniest story of the sports weekend. Some try to find the greatest story of the sports weekend. Here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, try to find the pettiest story of the sports weekend because there's so much petty in the world. There's so much petty in the sports world. So we're going to try to find the pettiest of the sports world.
I'm just being petty.
Okay, so the first one is to the Boston Red Sox, whoever's running their social media. At Red Sox, right? So there's nothing like winning the World Series, then going back and finding old tweets, right? Red Sox is digging back into some old tweets and seeing that someone said, oh, the Red Sox are going to be 0-162, and talking about how the Rays beat the Red Sox 6-4. This is from, like, March or April, digging into the old tweets.
It's from game one. Yes. They started going back to everyone that tweeted them after the very first game of the season.
2018 World Series champions. At It's Cryptic says September started early, talking about the Red Sox with their loss, right? And the Red Sox tweeted, greetings from October 29th, we're the World Series champs.
That's amazing.
They're also, Eric Don Francesco on March 29th said, fire Cora. And the Red Sox said, nope, he just won us the World Series.
It's so great that they went back and took the time to do this.
I mean, just going back, and the ultimate in petty to me, Red Sox... the person that's running their social media digging through game one on the March 29th and clapping back at people. Now that is petty train material right there. I mean, you win the World Series, now you're going to dig back from game one. He had those saved, right? He or she had those saved, locked in.
They did. They were definitely ready. That's
all right.
Hilarious.
All right, Eric, what's the pettiest story of the sports weekend?
I am staying with the Red Sox, and if you were watching it all in the clubhouse after they won the World Series, you heard the music playing, and there was three songs you heard playing over and over again. You heard New York, New York.
Yes.
And then you heard California Love, and then Hotel California.
Oh, my God.
And for the record, they just beat the Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers, so they're just trolling them.
Petticoat Junction.
Just petty. I don't just rolling those songs out. I'm thinking about other World Series teams. I don't think they were just like pretty much clapping back at their opponents like that.
Right. You're just playing music and enjoying yourselves. You're not worried about it. What sort of clap back at? You just sent them home. Like
Red Sox is so petty.
Petticoat Junction.
That's two. Felix, what do you have for the pettiest story of the sports weekend?
All right, guys. 50 Cent and Ja Rule go way back when it comes to beef. So recently, Ja Rule has a concert coming up, right? And it's sponsored by Groupon. So you can actually buy your tickets through Groupon. So what 50 Cent decided to do was decided to go buy 200 seats to Ja Rule's concert. Mm-hmm. All the seats supposedly are right all in the front row. The reason why he did this was so they can be all empty during Ja Rule's concert. That's so petty.
Oh.
You're going to go buy 200 seats to leave that man's concert
really?
Empty, all in the front.
Really?
I love it. He spent like $300,000 on selling, like getting all the front row seats out.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
Petticoat Junction.
God. Is it that serious?
Can you just picture, though, Ja Rule going out there, though, and just expecting a concert to be full, and then he just has all these empty seats?
Can you just imagine wanting to see Ja Rule, period?
Put that on the poll. That's a good point. could you imagine wanting to see Ja Rule, period? I think that's
perfect.
I think period also. Yes. Poor Ja Rule. What a beef this is. So we'll put that on the poll. My goodness. 200 seats. So, like, it's not like 10. It's not like 20. he needs to find 200 butts in seats. Like, here, we need you to fill up these seats.
And he's not selling it on StubHub. He's keeping these tickets.
Oh, wow.
Those seats are going to stay empty.
Let's put those three choices up and see who's going to win the pettiest of the sports week. Don't forget, we've got those tickets for Ron White. If you want to go see him, tell us what is the pettiest story of the sports weekend. Caller 4, regular line, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. You'll see Ron White on February 22nd of next year at the Chicago Theater. We got tickets for you. You got to tell us what's the pettiest story of the sports weekend. We gave you three choices. One Red Sox, another one Red Sox, and the other one, this Ja Rule deal, which is unbelievable, along with 50 Cent. All right, caller 4, regular line, tell us the pettiest story of the sports weekend. We got tickets for you. All right, coming up, our NFC North review, Bill Michaels, Dave Burkett, as well as Henry Lake. We look around the NFC North. Where are the Bears versus these three teams, the Vikings and the Packers and the Lions? We'll talk about it coming up next right here on Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000.